I was just spending some time back in Psalm 51. I'd spent several days there and just rereading it again today. Just such an awesome thing. But I like it in the Passion Translation. His Psalms are just, I haven't read all the stuff in the New Testament, but his Old Testament stuff is wonderful. The Psalms. Where was I here? Because Psalm 50, he just brings so much life into this Psalm. Where he... after he had really failed with Bathsheba, you know, after a big failure in his life, and when he was just really dealing with the Lord's hand was heavy on him. I think that's Psalm 31 when he talks about God's hand being really heavy on him, and then he takes him through a time of just his deep repentance and restoring to him, you know. He couldn't stand that feeling of the presence of God being grieved, or then, you know, the Spirit would come on him and, you know, wasn't in him. He was around him, but he wasn't in him like he is now. But David just couldn't take it any longer. He just couldn't take it. Not that closeness of God, you know. And that's kind of what he's praying. Won't read all of it, but starting in verse 12 of that. I don't have it. I'm turning there in my Bible because I'm going to go through some stuff here that I'm kind of learning. And I'm going to give it to you as I'm getting it. Because the Lord's been kind of meeting me in dreams, but I tell you, the dreams have been just goofy. I mean, I was telling TC about one this morning. It was just a string of goofy stuff, but there was a meaning behind it, you know. Just kind of wake up. I don't know if you've ever awakened from a dream, and you're just like, what was that? And you're just almost, you don't even know where you are at the moment. And some I have to just laugh about. Yeah, starting in verse 10, where he says, "Create in me a clean heart." We read that a lot. I'll read the Passion Translation. "Keep creating me a clean heart. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires ready to please you. May you never reject me. May you never take your spirit from me." It's a great prayer. It's kind of a prophetic thing of the new covenant, which God never rejects us. You know, you ever think, never rejects us. "May you never take your spirit. Let my passion for life be restored, tasting joy in every breakthrough you bring to me. Hold me close to you with a willing spirit that obeys whatever you say." In verse 13, he says, "Then I can show other guilty ones how loving and merciful you are. They will find their way back home to you, knowing that you will forgive them. O God, my saving God, deliver me from every sin, even the sin that brought blood guilt or guilt. Then my heart will once again be thrilled to sing the passionate songs of joy and deliverance. Lord God, unlock my heart, unlock my lips, and I will overcome with joyous praise. For the source of your pleasure is not in my performance or the sacrifices I might offer to you. The fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. You will not despise my tenderness as I bow humbly at your feet." What a great, isn't that just great insight? And I believe that's how the passion of the Hebrew language is well put. But those parts about joy in every breakthrough, you know. And that's what it's to bring, like the breakthroughs that God has given us and me, even though it's kind of... stuff he's dragging up in me is not always, was kind of painful in a sense, you know, but good. And because I've asked him to do that, and he's kind of getting deep in there in some areas of rejection, you know, self-rejection, stuff that we may not even realize. And it's just not delivering you from that. So that's what is very important, yeah, to know the closeness and him not rejecting you, but just the joy that comes from that. And mainly comes from setting us free from a guilt or guilt consciousness and shame, right? Because that's what happens when we fail or we blow it. It's always about, with the enemy, about putting that shadow or that thing that just hangs over us of guilt and condemnation and shame. You know, and there's no joy in that, right? But I really have been asking the Lord about that, about the joy of that, the real joy, His joy, and the breakthrough that comes from that, you know. And really great book, if you've never read any of it, or maybe you read it a long time ago. I know people here at Christ the King, Restoring the Christian Soul by Leanne Payne, one of the best books ever written on how God does His restoration process in us, or, you know, our inner healing, what we call it here. We're a healing center. We've been that from the beginning. And and the part she goes on in is just really very insightful about the three main barriers that we have to cross. And it was like learning how to receive God's forgiveness for ourselves. I mean, deep in us, where we're freed from the voices of guilt, the voices of shame, which creates just abandonment feeling, you know, where you feel really alone in times. It's just so good. And then how God views us, you know, and others, that we don't walk in thinking everyone's rejecting us or how they think about it. Just this very insightful. And she gives stories, which I love, testimonies. It's just one testimony after the next of people that get set free who had this deep sense of self-rejection, self-hatred. And then they come to this place of knowing not just, I mean, like in here, how accepted they are and how lovely they are to God, you know. Even the Lord has had me voice things to myself and where I'm having this conversation with myself, you know, like I'm, you know, need a tinfoil hat or something, you know, wearing that around. But talking to myself about how awesome, you know, how much He loves you, but that I love myself, you know. You're awesome, Craig, like in that. You mean, you're cool, you're awesome, you're, right? That's really what he thinks. And so if we mean to say that to ourselves, then we start believing it, right? So whatever it takes. But just going through some scripture here, and I'm doing a little bit deep because finding out that the word shame in the Bible, in Hebrew, and especially in the Greek, there's several different definitions of it. We just have one, right? He has several different, because he will talk about the, so I won't put the, you know, the shame of God put on you. But some of that's talking about the 2 Corinthians 7, where it talks about the sorrow that comes, you know, that leads us to the place of repentance, that kind of thing, you know. But the shame that he hates, actually Scripture says Jesus hates, is the shame that we carry. The shame coming from guilt, the shame that comes from failures, the shame that comes from who we think we are, you know, or what others think. That kind of thing is just poison. And he hates, matter of fact, was in Hebrews chapter 12 where it says Jesus, you know, when he died for us, the joy set before him, and it said he despising the shame. And that word really means that. He hates shame. He despises shame. That's a strong word, right? Because of what it does to us. And he allowed himself to be crucified naked. That's pretty shameful, right? But meaning that when he did that, he took all your shame in him. And he died. We died to that, to never have to walk in that again. And a lot of scripture to that. I'm just going to buzz through them real quick. Several in Isaiah. First one is 45:17. And this is just prophetic declarations. A lot of Isaiah is this looking to the cross, you know, speaking. I always tell people when I was, you know, teach Bible study that everything in the Old Testament looks to the cross, right? Everything in the New Testament looks back to the cross. Everything centered around what Jesus did, this complete work. And it says, this is 45:17, and he talked about putting shame on the enemy. He put it on him. Israel, this is 45:17. Israel has been saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. She's talking about what Jesus did. It is finished. You will not be put to shame or humiliated to all eternity. Right? That's what, when Jesus said it's finished, he took all shame and the humiliation that comes, he took all of that away. Right? Never wants us to carry shame or humiliation anymore. 54:4, Isaiah 54:4. And this is another one, a great one, talking about what will happen in this day, Zion. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. Do not feel humiliated. for you will not be disgraced. Well, you will forget the shame of your youth. That, a lot of us need to hear that. You will forget the shame of your youth, right? Those shameful things that we did or were ashamed of, forget it. He's that in Christ, we forget that. And the reproach of your widowhood, you'll remember no more. You know, this shame that even the widows had of being ashamed, or why can't, all that, just a picture of what he did, you know, and to set us free from that. 61:7 is another one. I give these in just case you're anything like me. I like to mark them and then chain them onto the next one. 61:7, I really love this one. I'll read the verse before that in 61:6-7. But you will be called priests of the Lord. You'll be spoken of as ministers to our God. This is the body of Christ, all of us. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you'll boast. Instead of your shame, you'll have a double portion. Instead of shame, you will have a double portion of His Spirit. So maybe that means instead of shame, you'll have a double portion of acceptance. All right? Instead of humiliation, you're going to shout for joy over your portion, or shout for joy of who you are in Christ. Therefore, they will possess, talking about all of us, a double portion of my Spirit. And listen to this, everlasting joy will be yours, right? So we have it. Bishop talked about that yesterday, and we know that. We know that Jesus said, my joy will be in you. My peace will be His, right? So the joy that He had when He said, for the joy set before Him is us, okay? But that joy, we've been invited into union with that, right? And you can't walk around with joy if you walk around with humiliation and shame and guilt, right? They're oil and water. They don't mix. So it's like the Lord puts His, you know, oil and just scatters this stuff. That's what it's, the oil of His fragrance in Song of Solomon, like the purified oil of Him, just the smell of it is wonderful, and He feels that way to us. So all of that is to take away the stink and stench of guilt and shame. Think about it like that. It stinketh, right? And sometimes we've carried that, even like a religious spirit tries to convince us to carry that stuff because that's what we deserve. And, you know, it's just nonsense. And I've had so many, you know, people in the pulpit trying to put guilt and shame on you, you know. We always say that. If you bring them in by fear, you got to keep them by fear. And that's witchcraft, y'all. I mean, that is witchcraft, which means has to do with their mind, you know, mind control and manipulation and stuff. It's just witchcraft. Matter of fact, we was talking about grace yesterday, the grace of God, and he's teaching us here in Hebrews chapter 13 actually says that any teaching that doesn't have its foundation in grace is a false teaching and a strange teaching, right? A strange teaching, I mean, it's not truth. It's not the Lord. If it's not just clothed, saturated in grace, right? Or foundation of grace of God. All right, we'll just do a couple more real quick. One, Joel. This is a great one. Joel chapter 2. I know I have it marked with my little Bible things. Ezekiel. Joel. I didn't mark it. All right, Joel 2, 26 and 27 says, this is again, this is about God restoring the years of the locusts of Eden, you know. Again, this is all about Pentecost, all what happened there on the cross and when it was fulfilled on Pentecost. You'll have plenty to eat and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. I can't say that word. Then my people will never be put to shame. In other words, never let somebody put to shame is never let anyone or never let the enemy put shame on you, right? My people will never be put to shame. So never receive shame in any form whatsoever. Do not receive it because it's not the Lord. That's part of us, our inheritance. I love that. My people will never be put to shame. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. And he says it again, like nailing it in. My people will never be put to shame. I will never put shame on them. So we learn that as we learn that, then that's what we give to others, right? If I'm I'm allowing shame to be put on me, then guess what? I'm going to put that on other people. And I've learned that. I'm learning that lesson. I learned it with someone very close to me that I was doing that to. And the Lord just spoke to me almost audible one day in my car and said, stop putting shame on them, because I don't. I was trying to do change their behavior, right? And so I was just pulling out all the ammunition, but the ammunition I pulled out was not the Lord at all. And I was just opening them up to attack and something put on them that they couldn't shake. And then in Zephaniah 3, 11 and 19. In that day he's talking about is Pentecost, the day that Christ came by the Holy Spirit to live in you, me. In that day you will feel no shame because of all your deeds by which you've rebelled against me. And I will remove them from your midst, your proud and exalting ones, and you will never be haughty on my holy mountain again. And he's talking about what he did with the enemy, stripped them. But in that day, you're not to feel any more shame, right? It is an emotion we feel, that we entertain it here, then it affects our feeling being. And then 19, I love this. Behold, I'm going to deal at that time with all your oppressors, the cross, which he did. Colossians 3, stripped them, humiliated them. I will save the lame, gather the outcasts, and I will turn their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. I love that. I'm going to turn your shame, I'm going to flip it to praise. All right? Because you know what will happen if we know that we're not carrying any shame anymore, we're not carrying any guilt, we're not carrying humiliation? It creates praise, right? God, how can you do that? How can you? That is so awesome, because we not what we deserve. So it does create the praise in our weakness. Right? I love that, because the lame and the outcast are in my weakness. His strength is made perfect. He gathers me in, and all the shame and stuff I've been walking in now is praise. And one more. I've had this. This is in New Testament. It's Philippians 1:20. Go back and read that one. If I can turn to it quick. If I can't, I'm going to just kind of stop it. Philippians 1:20. So, 19. For I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything. With all boldness, Christ will now be exalted in my body. So Christ being exalted in his body, Paul said, was never put me to shame. So, amen. Okay, guys, that's let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did. Lord, that's the most amazing. I don't have words, but that's just who you are. May we get to know you as that. May our breakthroughs turn to joy and praise. God, bring us all to breakthrough of that, of all the stuff, Lord, no matter what it's clothed in, rejection, self-rejection, abandonment, Lord, all those things. You know all of us, and you know how much we're walking in. Thank you, Lord, you've been revealing that to me. I pray that for them the same thing. Lord, you're just bringing your light, and you're bringing everything into the light. And you said that in your word, Lord, you only bring things into the light to heal them. Thank you, Lord, we're clothed with your closeness, your acceptance, and that we're just as pleasing aroma, fragrance, always to you. Lord, there are times where we just need to crawl up, Lord, in your lap, in a sense, the good Father, and let you just love that out of us, Lord. I pray you'd love that out of us. In Jesus' name.